This is not whatever.
It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before they get better.
Yeah, whatever.
Welcome to the debrief. I'm Stephen Beckman. This is the debrief for June 5th to the 11th. We're going to be covering all the top stories that happened this week, things that weren't in the mainstream news cycle, things that weren't focused on, because mesh news makes news for humans and humanity. We do not cover narratives, we cover the news. So today, on Sunday night, June 11th, 2023, year of our Lord, let's get into the headlines. Now, back on the 6th, the Australian Prime Minister, Albanese, publicly backed Julian Assange not being extradited to the United States. He publicly made a declaration, said there is no benefit to the public or national security to keep him incarcerated, which is huge if you really understand how big of a deal that is for one of the Five Eyes countries, Five Eyes being New Zealand, Australia, UK, Canada, and the United States. Those guys are all very closely tied together. They call themselves the Five Eyes because they share their signals intelligence, meaning all this data and telephone and things captured out of the air, etc. They share all their signals intelligence with each other. It's an even trade. People in New Zealand, etc., have access to all the data here, and we have all the access to their data there. The laws are a little different, but we all share our signals intelligence with each other. It's known as the Five Eyes. And for a Five Eyes country to publicly come out and say that the United States, which, let's be honest here, is the big swinging dick in this globe, to publicly for the Prime Minister to hold a position to publicly back Julian Assange and saying that this is just unnecessary incarceration, it doesn't accomplish it, is really huge. Now, unfortunately, later this week, what happened was Julian Assange was denied an appeal to being extradited to the United States. So it looks like he will be extradited to the United States. And if that happens, I hope every single journalist worth his fucking salt helps set the fucking country on fire. Every activist, every person who runs a website, everybody who runs a news blog, a news show, or, you know what I'm saying, you have a large audience on Twitter. If you're a celebrity, if you're a professional sports athlete, if you have any kind of large audience, large platform, if you're a micro influencer, I hope you publicly back Assange, you follow Stella Assange on Twitter, and publicly come out against it, because this is bullshit. What this is going to do, even though the Australian Prime Minister came out, what this is going to do is going to set a precedence. So once they finally, if they convict him on these charges, they're going to use that as momentum to start incarcerating journalists all over the country for journalism. And, you know, they're trying to make the argument that what Julian Assange didn't do wasn't journalism. Well, the man's got like 24 journalism awards from the entire journalism community. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of hard not to argue he was engaging in journalism. So, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy he's incarcerated because, you know, he didn't even break UK laws. This is basically the United States leaning on Five Eyes countries, which the UK is one of them, to have other countries do things on their behalf. And they want to make an example of him because he, first and foremost, he embarrassed George H.W. Bush because he shined a light on all the fucking war crimes being committed and covered up. Believe it or not, collateral murder video, which put WikiLeaks on the map, was during the George H.W. Bush administration. And it's all of a sudden it shined a light on something called the Hague Act that George H.W. Bush passed before we had that 20-year-long war in Afghanistan, the Forever War. The Hague Act, a lot of people don't know, the Hague Act was passed before we went to war, right before we got the declaration to go to war on terrorism and deploy troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. So what would happen is if any of our soldiers or the military contractors got arrested for war crimes, the Hague Act, which George H.W. Bush put into motion before, preemptively, understand, it's like premeditatedly, kind of like premeditated murder. You know how premeditated murder is a charge? Well, this guy preemptively passed something called the Hague Act, George H.W. Bush. I know a lot of you young, a lot of you youngins, all you nephews out there, didn't really understand that and grow up, and it seems like that was a long time ago, but you have no idea the world you live in right now, 20-year-olds, maybe people even younger, is a result of this one man, George H.W. Bush, creating the surveillance state that did not exist before he came into office. So you need to understand, like, I keep talking about this guy, George H.W. Bush. He's like, yeah, but, you know, I grew up and, you know, when I knew Obama, I knew Obama growing up, etc. A lot of you young 20-year-olds, people who have all the energy, the people who are next in line, you have like a hard 20, 30 years where you guys are going to be the driving force. You need to know your history. You need to understand this man signed away your privacy, signed away your future to, so when, as you grew up, it didn't feel like you lost anything, but you have no clue. Anyways, this guy, George H.W. Bush, where a lot of you 20-something-year-olds, you know what I'm saying, were probably too young to remember, he passed something called the Hague Act, which means that if any one of our soldiers or military contractors commits a war crime, literally the Hague Act, look it up. We can go in and break them out of prison because we can do no wrong. So he preemptively knew war crimes and atrocities were going to be committed. And ahead of time, he went ahead and passed laws so he can get his fucking goons out of there when they end up doing things that he knows is going to happen. Because he knew he was going in there to slaughter people, which he did. The Study of War and The Intercept published a story to find out that the War on Terror, get this, the War on Terror killed over 1 million fucking brown people. Like, 1 million. The war on terror resulted in 1 million brown people's lives. Do you understand? They're the same as us, but that ended up killing 1 million people on the other side of the world. And since it was on the other side of the world, it didn't look like a fucking genocide. I mean, shit, did you know Hitler? Hitler killed 6 million. But, I mean, I think if you're putting up numbers like millions, I mean, at what point is, you know what I'm saying, are you not Hitler? You know what I'm saying? If you're putting up Hitler numbers, I think you're allowed to be compared to fucking Hitler. Anyways, so first and foremost, Julius Assange stood up against the evil empire, which was us and the neocons. And that first put him on the map. If you don't know, and a lot of people don't know, George H.W. Bush's dad was also a president. So the guy who passed that, his daddy was also a president back in the 80s. And before his dad was a president, his dad was the head of the CIA. And let me tell you something. After engaging with people from the intelligence community, considering the things that they, there's so many things that they do is like magic, bro. People from the intelligence community. I will tell you they are the most unimpressed motherfuckers in the universe. Guess whose name is on the fucking building of the CIA? It's the George H.W. Bush CIA building. So whatever that motherfucker did, either he did something so dastardly or he pulled off the ultimate, you know what I'm saying, operation or what the fuck ever, it impressed the CIA so much that his name is on the fucking building. You really need to understand how influential, this family who you don't really think about because they're not in the spotlight, has affected our country for decades and decades and decades. I mean, the Department of Homeland Security exists because George H.W. Bush wrote it into existence. There are hundreds of thousands of people who work for the Department of Homeland Security now. Did you know that? Hundreds of thousands. You think that, you know what I'm saying, you write, if you create an entire federal industry, right? And you create hundreds of thousands of jobs, would you think if someone made it so you could feed your family, if you can pay your mortgage, you think you'd be loyal to that guy? I'm just asking that hypothetically. Do you think you'd be loyal to that guy if he put a roof over your head? If he's responsible for your career? That's something for you to answer. But anyways, Assange lost his appeal, even though the prime minister came out publicly in his favor. And I think that's awesome. People really need to give that motherfucker more credit than what was in the news. Like, it was just like a blip for the day. You have to really understand that when I'm doing the news, I go through the news every day. And I, you know, we don't cover the stories that other people cover. It takes me like 2.5 hours, sometimes 3 hours, just to comb through all of the news. I mean, I've got multiple news readers. I go on different social media sites. I go to different news outlets, and I just, what is the stories? And, you know, I only pick stories that affect your life. What's going to affect your life? You working. And I specifically focus on people who are working class and middle class and maybe upper middle class, but stories that affect those people, that means your income, your health, the health of the planet, because that's going to affect poor people first before it affects. A lot of people don't understand climate change or whatever you want to call it. Climate change, maybe you care about climate change. There's a fuck ton of plastic. PFAS chemicals are fucking everywhere in the environment. It's pretty crazy. But all these things happening to our environment, microplastics, etc., all these things, it's going to affect working class, middle class, upper middle class people first. It's going to hit us first. So I feature those stories about the environment, et cetera, PFAS chemicals, et cetera, because that's going to affect you, you know, and other stories that affect humanity as a whole, not people in the least. We don't feature gossip, et cetera. I don't need to advertise that, but you need to understand we're a different flavor of news. That's why one of our pseudo taglines is news, not narrative. And I really do this process of going through the news. Getting back to it, Prime Minister Albanese really should have gotten more clout for this. And, you know, I'm saying, for a head of a country who's part of the Five Eyes to come out publicly and say, hey, this was wrong, is a big deal. But unfortunately, that was not enough steam for that to get blocked. I really hope every, like I said, celebrity, musician, actor, journalist, academic, you know what I'm saying, people from academia, people just what, you know, in any space, there definitely needs to be some kind of public outcry. I mean, shit, I really think that Elon Musk should host Twitter Spaces, since that was so huge with Ron DeSantis, RFK, the one that was fucking huge. The platform just really blowing up. It's going great because, I mean, Tucker just joined it. That guy's getting like 100 million views for his news show. Do you know what 100 million... Do you know what kind of audience that is? He could not have done that on Fox, let alone anything. On Twitter, he got 100 million views for his show. You know, I know Twitter's not profitable right now, but yeah. I really hope that now that this has gone, Assange has lost his appeal for this, that possibly, you know, E could hold like a Spaces. That would be so awesome. Tweet at if you're anybody who cares about the news, or you like drinking from the daily zeitgeist, which mainly happens on Twitter, believe it or not, and then it spills over to Reddit, it spills over to Facebook, it spills over to Instagram. But at first, news happens first on Twitter, and then people on other platforms, whether you like Instagram or whatever, and then it hits you guys 24 hours, sometimes 36 hours later. Anyway, let's hope for that, so we can at least get something hyper-focused. Hopefully, maybe fucking Tucker Carlson can have her on. I mean, people really need to understand what this means. If they prosecute him, you know he's facing 175 years. For what? The girl who gave him that information, Chelsea Manning, she's been pardoned by Obama. They're just doing this to make an example of Julian. This guy is, you know what I'm saying, like his health is declining. His mental health is declining. Like, oh, dude, they are just making this huge example. They're trying to scare every journalist in the world not to report on the U.S. government's crimes. They should not be allowed to get away with this. Anyways, awesome. Australian Prime Minister backed him. That's awesome. Unfortunately, he lost his appeal. But that doesn't mean it's all over. I really hope, like, somebody like Biden just pardons him. Here's the thing, is the intelligence community has the ear of the president. And, do you know what I'm saying? We don't know what goes on behind the doors, but from what I was hearing about Trump and the intelligence community briefing him, sorry, I'm in a parking lot right now, briefing him on Assange, he was kind of told, hey, don't worry, this is our guy. There's a lot you don't know about it. You know, he risked people's lives. People possibly could have died, because that's not true at all. In fact, the reason why he got the CIA's attention is because Assange then, what do you call it? Assange reported something called the Vault 7 leaks, where he found out that the CIA was spying on everybody, and the NSA was spying on everybody through our smart TVs and through our Alexa speakers, listening to our houses. Like, they're just out of control. They published this software that they have for pretty much every new car above like 2008, because many new cars, not all new cars, but many after that, started doing this stuff called drive-by-wire, where it wasn't a physical steering column that was controlling the car. It was sensors in the steering wheel. I don't know if a lot of people understand how cars are made, but usually there's a shaft that goes from the steering wheel all the way through the front of the car into the steering box. And for now, in a lot of new cars, they're foregoing that, and now it's all purely sensors, which means that since there's no mechanical steering your car, that can be hacked and it can drive your car off a cliff, etc., which makes it very convenient for assassinations, etc., without anybody knowing what happened. And so somebody who might be trying to expose the government, what are people like Julian, could just have their car fucking drive off the side of the road. And what's interesting is in California, they're going to be forcing all new cars be electric cars by 2035, which means every car is going to be drive-by-wire, which means that if you say something about a president, a future president, if you expose the government, etc., your car just drives off the road, off a cliff. It's crazy. He exposed that. It's called the Vault 7 leaks. And then what was going on was Julian Assange was being really embraced by the Democrats as this truth teller, etc., right? But then WikiLeaks, they don't leak things based on political ideology. They don't have a side, which is so rare in journalism. Like, this is another reason why we need to back Julian Assange. Journalist Julian Assange. Because he's non-biased. So he ended up publishing a bunch of emails that were hacked from Hillary during her election bid, and ended up making the Democrats pissed off,
Hillary was actually former head of state, and that pissed her off, and all the Democrats now fell in line. Hillary's got a lot of pull, man. She's a bad bitch, man. She's a bad motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So she got a lot of pull, so she ended up pissing off all. So he ended up pissing off all the Democrats, and the Democrats were actually his man in the corner, because he was publishing things about George H.W. Bush. And they're like, yeah, fuck him, blah, 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 blah. But then he published shit about them, and now he's not their friend now. So it kind of sucks, but that's what journalism is you have to talk about all the bad shit. It's not about having sides. It's about being basically a contemporary historian and being truthful to what's happening. And, you know, he stayed so true to that. And it's kind of just so gnarly. But that's a big story that happened this week. Not a lot of people talked about that, but that's a big deal for Australia, which is a Five Eyes country, to do that. Another big story that happened this week is State Farm, along with Allstate, have been pulling out of states altogether because climate change is actually making it harder to give home insurance, like flood insurance, fire insurance, etc., because we're fucking up the planet. The government pretty much shut down the economy over the spicy flu for 3 years and just completely changed everything. I don't understand how they couldn't, you know, take those same dramatic actions, you know, to unfuck all this, but it is what it is. I definitely think, just like with the Ukraine war, right, like, That's a tragedy that the Ukrainian people, and Ukraine is actually a really poor country. A lot of people don't know it. Ukraine's poor as fuck. It's unfortunate that a bunch of poor people's lives are being just upheld because, you know, all these rich people and these elites aren't fucking, you know what I'm saying, they care about fucking manifest destiny and shit. And I supported Ukraine because, you know, I understand NATO, etc., but you know what I'm saying? Like, that motherfucker invaded Crimea, and everyone Putin invaded Crimea. Everyone knows Putin invaded Crimea because he wanted a warm water harbor for his navy. Because the only other harbors that Russia have, not a lot of people know this, is in colder waters more towards Alaska. If you know how Russia is shaped, etc. So he really wanted Crimea so he can have a warm water harbor and to launch submarines, etc. And, you know, I had Ukraine's back because I was like, oh, man, this fucking sucks. This dude invading again. He wants more of their shit. And I think it's kind of ironic that the part of Ukraine that he is, what's it called, invading, believe it or not, the parts of Ukraine that he's invading is where all of their natural gas resources are. Because Putin's like the king of natural gas. That's, you know what I'm saying? He had the Nord Stream pipeline, etc. That could have been one of the reasons why, so, you know, allegedly, which I totally believe, the United States government during a war games, which that journalist Hirsch reported, they used the war games as cover, and they sent down some like elite unit and placed a bunch of C4 on Putin's pipeline, and then they fucking just let it sit for a couple of months. So it didn't look like, oh, you know what I'm saying, they were involved in it. But they used the war games as cover to actually maim somebody that threatened the U.S. government's power. But at the same time, since, you know, That's what's keeping the Russian economy alive, is the fact that he has so much natural gas. He is pumping it into China, everything. He's selling it below market rate, and he's selling it cheap. And, you know what I'm saying, a lot of other countries in Europe, etc., don't have a lot of natural resources like that, but Russia does. And so that's kind of, I mean, he invades Ukraine and the part of Ukraine that he's invading, if you look at a map, look at the Ukraine's natural resources map, just type that into the Google machine. All the parts that he's invading is where all of the fucking natural gas is. Right? So he also strategically invaded a portion, the part of Ukraine where it would be advantageous to his nation's economy over time. You know what I'm saying? He didn't invade the parts from Belarus first. He invaded the parts where it had all the natural resources. But I back Ukraine. You know what I'm saying? But now it's being taken over, right? It's almost like the United States is letting Ukraine get fucked up more. So now, and then BlackRock comes in there. It's like, well, we'll invest all the money in your rebuilding. So now they're going to be in total debt to BlackRock, right? They're going to be in this credible debt to the United States government forever. Like, they're just going to, for years and years and years and years and years and decades and decades and decades to pay that shit back. So it's like, we're just like, wait, don't give them all the shit they need right now. Wait, oh, well, let's wait, you know, and letting their fucking country get more and more blown the fuck up. So now these corporate interests can come in and make money off the backs of these people who are already fucking poor. Like, that's what I think is going to happen with climate change. Is they're going to let it get worse so these companies can come in and make money off of it, etc. And at the same time, they're going to use climate change, you know, just like the government used a pandemic that China sent us. They're going to use that. It was like, well, this is happening right now. We can't stop it. Why don't we turn lemons into lemonade? Yeah, we'll take some of the rights away. We'll, you know, we got this thing called contact tracing. We've been fucking meaning to, you know what I'm saying, deploy. Why don't we do that now? You know what I'm saying? Now we got all that software in everyone's fucking phones. Like, they'll turn every bad situation into a good situation for the people in power. But going back to the big story, sorry, that rant. Climate change is making insuring homes hard as shit. And State Farm and Allstate have pulled out of California altogether for our fire insurance. So they can't, you have to understand, when the corporations can no longer make money and they can squeeze blood out of a fucking stone, man, you need to start taking notice. It's almost like the Ukraine war, they're going to let it get out of control for some fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we could prevent this shit because we know that they stopped the entire country over the spicy flu for 3 years. They can put provisions in place and be like, yo, fucking, there's going to be certain days when people need to take public transportation or do like carpooling, like something that's going to suck. But we also don't want to fucking all die, you know, or burn, you know what I'm saying, or slowly, you know, get choked out by this. But State Farm and Allstate, they pulled out of California altogether. You can't get fire insurance now. That's how bad the wildfires are. And they're decreasing insurance coverage in the states of California, Florida, Texas, Colorado, and Louisiana because those states are going to be the hardest hit first from climate change. It's already happened. When the bloodsuckers can't squeeze any more blood out of a stone, it's time for us to start taking note. And probably pressuring our government. Like, look, don't, you know what I'm saying? It's, don't let the house burn because, you know what I'm saying? You do fire restoration. You know what I'm saying? You're going to make money off of it. But I feel like that's what's happening. That happened. The Department of Homeland Security got caught doing some corrupt shit this week. The Department of Homeland Security got caught asking the University of Birmingham to develop a terrorist score for social media users. Isn't that interesting? The DHS claimed when they got caught doing this, they said that the reason why they asked the University of Birmingham to make it was so they can track people who are movers and shakers in the opium industry, right? Because they're trying to keep track of drug runners and shit. But the person who blew the whistle on this pointed out that the Department of Homeland Security could easily take this framework that they had the University of Birmingham develop and use it to target any kind of person. So all you're doing is changing the target, but they developed this framework for tracking people, etc. So now they can make sure they can, you know what I'm saying? It's like making a template for something. And all you do is just change the colors and the palettes and the images or whatever, and now you can use it for something totally different. And Department of Homeland Security, the person who blew the whistle on this, said that they can use this to target any flavor person. So any person that might be a government dissident, any person that might be a fucking journalist, anybody who might be a independent media person, etc. So this could be repurposed
to track anyone and have this very comprehensive framework for tracking them. And it's kind of crazy how when they create these things, they when especially when they're outsourcing, they'll be like, oh yeah, but it's for the bad guys. So yeah, this is why we need you to do this for us, because these people are bad. Do this for the bad guys. But they could just use us to track anyone. Track anyone who talks shit about the government on the internet. If you are somebody who bitches about your Second Amendment rights, or they know that you're, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of fucking nonsense on about ghost guns and shit like that. Like, crazy. If criminals want guns, they're going to get guns. But regardless, it's they created this framework for tracking people. They got caught with their fucking pants down. Here's something super cool that also happened this week. Space power. Fucking space power. Caltech. Scientists successfully transferred power from space wirelessly down to Earth. I know a lot of us have probably heard of this concept before, but that's the thing. It's just been a concept. They actually did it. Finally, they actually did it. And the cool thing about power from space, right, is we can make solar panel installations very light, etc. And the sun is always shining all day long. I mean, all the time in space. But the Earth keeps turning. And so, you know, this could be an answer for some of our future energy needs. Because we need different options for things. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing about solar panels is we're finding out that every 10 years, solar panels need to be replaced. And then they go to these landfills, and a lot of people don't know there's a lot of crazy heavy metals in solar panels, and heat breaks them down. And that's what they're made for, to be in the sun and be hot all the time. And what it does is it breaks down these metals, and then these metals seep into the soil, and it poisons the groundwater. And a lot of people don't know about how groundwater works. It's not like people think groundwater is these lakes. It's not. It's more like a sponge. You understand? It's like it's like a sponge, and it just, you know what I'm saying? It holds in the soil. It's not like these lakes or what have you. It's basically like a sponge, and it allows metals. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever, you know, like had like a cat that pissed on one of your shirts or whatever, the whole shirt ends up smelling like piss, right? Because the liquid goes through the fibers and it permeates through the whole thing, right? And then it's ruined. Well, the same thing happens with groundwater. It's not these isolated pockets. So when they send all these solar panels to the landfill, they break down. There's these crazy toxic metals that make those things. And we don't know how to recycle solar panels very well. And this is going to be a huge environmental disaster, because solar panel is clean, air quotes, but then it's going to be poisoning our groundwater, and we already have water problems. So this is good for in space, because what we can do is send a bunch of solar panels to fucking space, and then when they're breaking down, we just, I don't know, fling them at the moon or throw them literally into the sun. I mean, I guess, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of a great solution, and maybe in the next 50 years, this would be awesome. You know, these people are going to be these champions of humanity, because they could see in the future where most of us can't, and said we might need a second solution, because there's this environmental time bomb that a lot of people don't know about with solar panels. Everyone's getting on the green revolution, green, green, green. But a lot of people don't know the environmental disaster that solar panels are going to be for the Earth in the future. You know what I'm saying? Our kids, grandkids are going to be dealing with this. We think we're saving shit, but so this could be this is a good thing. The UN, here's another story, speaking of climate change and the climate and power, the UN, here's another story, the UN and the panel for climate research at the UN said that it's now too late to slow down or to stave off the future, a future without polar ice in the summer. Meaning, we can't slow down the runaway greenhouse effect, right? Because these people who are climate scientists, they give us these buffers, right?
They try to warn us. They try to get our attention. They do the atomic clock thing, etc. Well, unfortunately, greenhouse effect is like a runaway thing. Like it takes, it's like a semi truck. Like it takes a while to slow down. Do you know what I'm saying? And then to get back going again, etc. So you can't just like stop it. So let's say starting tomorrow, we only used electric. We didn't burn coal. Like literally tomorrow, we still couldn't like, and starting tomorrow, we only use clean energy and we closed the loop and we were climate neutral, carbon neutral. The whole world was. Unfortunately, because it's a runaway effect, there's no way now. So literally from now on until probably another couple thousand years until we figure out how to, you know, geoengineer the planet's climate back to pre-industrial levels, pre-industrial revolution systems levels. There's now, in the future now, for the next couple thousand years, there will, the pole, the Arctic, at least the Arctic, is always going to be ice-free. And, you know, lots of nations are super stoked about that because there's a bunch of gold and oil and shit that they could sell back to us to keep the problem going. They don't give a fuck. Rich people don't give a shit, man, because it's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt working class, middle class, and upper middle class people. It's not going to hurt wealthy people. So, but yeah, it's too late. So from now on, probably starting by 2030, the Arctic's going to be ice-free every summer. Isn't that crazy? That's pretty nuts. Here's some more stories that happened this week. Merrick, believe it or not, Merrick, you know, people from the coronavirus pandemic who were involved in that whole mess too, right? Selling us the solutions. Well, the Merrick is suing the White House because there's this thing that President Biden passed in his Inflation Reduction Act, which is actually a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not one of those people who, you know, throw shit at whoever the president is, unless you're a fucking war criminal. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a fucking war criminal. Neither is Trump. But he's passed this thing called the Inflation Reduction Act. It was a good thing. Part of that was that, you know, because we're Medicaid and Medicare is getting expensive. So now the Biden White House wants to be able to negotiate down drug prices so poor people can get health care. And Merrick is suing the White House right now because they say the price negotiation is extortion and it violates the First Amendment. Can you believe that? That they're fucking doing that? And they said that if they're forced to give us lower prices for drugs, people, right, and part of Medicaid, Medicaid is for old people, believe it or not. So, you know, when they retire, that's healthcare for older people. They say if they give us lower prices, that they're going to have to reduce their drug research. That means they're not going to come out with new drugs because we're making them lower their prices. And it's bullshit. Whenever drugs go generic, we end up finding out that you can make these things for pennies on the dollar sometimes. These are just more drug companies trying to extort us, but they're claiming to be the fucking victim. But so Biden passed this new law, says, hey, part of this new law that got passed was we get to negotiate prices down. So, you know what I'm saying? Because we're losing Social Security, man. Medicare, etc. I mean, they just passed this new... they just passed this new bill for the budget. You can't even get food stamps now unless you work. I mean, that's the social programs that keep people afloat and that for people that are hard times or people who didn't, you know, acquire a lot of wealth. We're losing those. We're losing Social Security. And, I mean, being able to get cheaper drugs, that's important. But fucking Merrick, these fucking drug companies, they're not, they made hundreds of billions of dollars during the pandemic, and they're just not happy, man, right? So yeah, fuck Merrick. Cop City, here's another story. Cop City, remember Cop City, you guys? Cop City is where that guy was protesting. Basically, this guy, he was a tree hugger. I mean, nothing wrong with being a tree hugger, but he found out that Cop City was going to be in Atlanta, was going to be built. It's going to be this huge police training center for a bunch of different states to come and send their people there. And then they get to, train a bunch of people. And there's going to be like a city there
like at actual suburbs and different towns, and said they're going to build it there in this like 80 acre facility so cops can train in real world scenarios, etc. And this guy, you know, he's a tree hugger, and he didn't want to get built because he thought that it should be a green space for people. And, you know, getting fucking shot by these cops and killed. And there was this whole thing because it was on body cam, how they handled them. They handled it like shit. They're just like, well, you know what, fucking let's shoot this motherfucker. We're cops, qualified immunity, whatever. That ended up happening. And yeah, but that ended up passing even after that guy made that sacrifice. So, you know, Cop City is starting off, you know, with blood on their hands. Let's see what else. So that happened. Yeah. Tucker Carlson. Yeah. We talked about that. His show in one day got 72 million views. Do you know what that would be like? Speaking of Tucker again, I'm just going down my list of all these great stories that happened this week that no one was talking about, but you know, Tucker Carlson left Fox News to bring his show on Twitter. It's historical because 72 million views is what people used to get, what is what shows used to get when TVs back in the 50s and 60s had like three channels. And you had no choice but ABC, NBC, and CBS. And so, you know what I'm saying? The country, hell, you know what I'm saying, divided into threes. That's when you get these millions and millions and millions of views, like the golden era of TV. That kind of audience has not been seen since then. And this dude just did it from his living room, Tucker Carlson, independent. And he's talking against state narratives. And I mean, I don't watch a lot of Tucker, but it's significant because what he did, he was actually featured in our last documentary though, because he actually came out against CBDCs. He actually is in the very front of the portion of our last documentary, 2030 Vision Corporate Coup. I definitely recommend you go into Mesh News, MeshNews.org, checking that out. It's right on the front page. Tucker's in the, he's the first part of the portion where it talks about CBDCs and breaks it down. And really gives you a whole 360 on what CBDCs are, how they can be abused, etc. And I have mainstream sources, etc. talking. I don't narrate these films. So understand that these are things that are happening. These are experts talking about these things. But Tucker's in the very first part of it. So I do watch some Tucker. But it's crazy. 72 million views. That's huge. What people don't understand is, if more and more of these creators, these people who got released from the news, right, or fired from the news for saying the wrong thing, you know, and upsetting advertisers, keep doing this, it's going to be this huge shift of power. Because that's the thing about, like, CNN. I don't hate news organizations, but unfortunately, it's just like how Elon Musk talked about tech organizations, how they have to play ball with the government. They have to. Or they can't exist. They'll pressure them. They'll make the company disappear or lose money or whatever. How cool of Elon to be so fucking transparent, right? But the same thing goes with media outlets. You're not going to get too big if the government is worried you're not going to play ball. So CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, they have to repeat government narratives. They have to. You have to. Or you're not going to get invited to the White House to do press secretary briefings, etc. Which, by the way, I think the press secretary we got now, she's actually pretty good. I don't know if you guys ever watched the briefings, but she's actually pretty good. It's like, what's her name? Karine Jean-Pierre? I hope I'm not butchering her name. But she's actually really good, believe it or not. I pay attention to, you know, people that do those briefs. Try to catch them when I can, but you know, work and stuff like that. But yeah, she's actually, you know, pretty good. She's very professional. That's a really tough job, to be the buffer between the man who runs the world. Do you know what I'm saying? That's an incredibly good job. And how you communicate reflects directly on him, which directly reflects on the nation and how the world sees us. So, I mean, but she's actually pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I think it would be silly to, you know what I'm saying, talk shit on her, because that's an incredibly difficult job. It doesn't matter what political party you're, that's an incredibly difficult job. Anyways, speaking of before I got on that tangent, was, yeah, it's huge. The narrative is shifting, and more of these big names shift from major news organizations where the government pressures these news organizations to repeat state talking points, which is pretty much propaganda, and they start going independent, and then they start doing these huge numbers that CNN can't even get a couple of hundred thousand views in a day. They had to start putting CNN in the airport to get people to watch it. You know that? Crazy. Just to get people to watch that shit. So this could be the beginning of the end for major news organizations. Tucker is kind of, I've been watching independent news for a minute considering this news project. So I have so many people that I would rather watch than corporate news, but it's nice to see somebody come over and do so well. It could show, you know what I'm saying, that a lot of these other independent creators like Russell Brand, Philip DeFranco, who else? Jimmy Dore, obviously Joe Rogan. There's just so many. Kim Iverson, The Real News, Democracy Now! All these independent organizations, maybe they're going to start gaining some steam. And there's so many more I wish I could, you know, there is Judicial Watch, et cetera, all these independent people who are very married to their job and they do it well, and they have a lot of fucking standards. They don't repeat state narratives. They actually talk, they actually expose a lot of shit, and they're very vigilant. Like I said, there's so many more. I wish I could remember literally all of the channels that I follow. Those are the ones off the top of the dome. But this could show this is the beginning of the end. And maybe now people are gonna start to awaken to this stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, to wake up, not be woke. That's a totally different thing. Like, awaken, like, come out of this deep sleep. I really hope that is what's going on. Here's another important story, getting off that. The pandemic student loan repayment pause, which Biden was like, yo, everyone is broke. The fucking economy is broken because of the spicy flu. And he put, I even have student loans, so I was fucking stoked about that. What's it called? Somebody tried to halt his student loan pause and he vetoed the bill. People like me are going to have to start paying out of loans at the end of August. So, you know what I'm saying? And that's cool because, you know, economy's starting to ramp up. I don't know how much, because also this month, believe it or not, unemployment numbers were just as high as in the middle of the pandemic this month. Crazy, huh? So I don't know what's going on with that. But the pandemic student loan, Biden is still in court to actually help wipe the balances and lower amounts for a lot of people. In fact, there'll be millions of people who have their student loans completely wiped out because of the $20,000. Because I guess some people went to vocational schools or what have you. I wish my shit was $20,000. But yeah, he's still going to court. He's still fighting for people for that. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. You have to understand there are so many things in politics, and it's so difficult. I know most people can just say, why don't you just write it off? But, like, he's also up for election, et cetera. He could sabotage it. I mean, the student loan industrial complex, I guess you want to call it, is fucking huge. There's literally trillions in student loan debt now. I think a little over $1 trillion nationally. When you count interest and everything else. I think I just saw this video go viral on Twitter where this lady made double payments for her student loans. She's a lawyer, but she made double payments for her student loans for 10 years solid, double payments. And she's right. And her student loan balance was somewhere around like 80 grand. She paid double payments for 10 years. And she only managed to bring down the total loan amount to like 70 grand, even though she paid nearly like 30 grand that year because the interest and all the, like, bro, I really think just like Gen X during the 2008 market crash, Gen X, you know, I hear this argument. Here's the thing. I hear this argument about student loans, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You want me to pay your student loan? There was a fuck ton of Gen Xers
who, and gen and millennials, who financed houses that they couldn't afford, and they were sold a bunch of bullshit, right? A lot of people were sold a bunch of lies about houses, and they could afford this house, and yeah, the adjustable rate will kick in, but by then you should be making a lot more money, right? Blah, blah, blah. And they sold them this bullshit the same way they did with student loans. That's how they got me too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, oh yeah, but by the time you get out of school, you're gonna be able to pay this back in like, you know, 7 years maybe, blah, 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 at the most. But those people got to write off their debt and do a bankruptcy, et cetera. And these homes cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, just like a fucking student loan. Many people, student loans. I feel like we should be able to get the same fucking do-over as all the Gen Xers and the millennials who bought houses they couldn't fucking afford. Real talk. There were so many people. Do you remember that? In the first film, the 2020 Vision, the first film in our series that we do every year annually, we go over how many people lost their fucking... There were so many. I remember when I was in college, when, you know what I'm saying, not when I was in college, it was a little bit after, actually. I graduated in 07. But I didn't... one of my clients was this guy, and he owned this service business, but he was making so much more money on the side from people who... repos of homes and people who left their houses, etc. There was so much money to be made on cleaning up these houses that people would demolish because they were mad that they lost their house, that they thought they got the American dream. But there's so many fucking people, like, and you guys all got a do-over. Why can't people with student loans? Why is the law written that we can't have a do-over? Yeah, we got to file bankruptcy, but what the fuck? All these people who got these $100,000 homes couldn't afford them. They got to write that shit off. But all of a sudden now the argument's different. You know what I'm saying? What, 2008 crash? That was a little over 10 years ago. It's not that long ago, dog. Since the first iPhone. It's not that long. So you guys can unload hundreds of thousands. But like, we can't. I don't get it. But we should rewrite the fucking law that we can claim bankruptcy. The fact that we can't is... a fucking robbery. It is enslavement. Anyways, Biden's got her back on that shit. So I think that's pretty fucking cool. But somebody tried to, the House passed, what's it called, voted this bill that would stop him trying to do that loan forgiveness program. And he fucking vetoed that. So Biden's got her back on that shit. So that's cool. The 8th, I was not able to get the news out in the morning. But I still posted the headlines. You have to understand, the curation takes quite a few hours. I have to wake up many hours before my job. This is a total labor of love I do, by the way. Only because I understand how important it is to give people news that's not this fucking garbage. There's so much shit. Like, all these people talking about Trump being indicted. That's not going to change your life. Yeah, it's historical, but it's not going to fucking change your life. And there's all these... like, it was the entire, all day on Twitter, and we fucking got him, and that was the lefties, and the righties are like, oh, this is a conspiracy. Like, all these people's lives are all wrapped up, and so, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's, whatever's going on, I think it's stupid that we're losing our minds on this guy, but we're going to let a fucking war criminal, George H.W. Bush, who murdered 1 million people and raped the American taxpayer for trillions. Do you know the total cost of that war was $8 trillion, the total cost, $8 trillion. Guess how much money we spent during the pandemic in relief programs? Almost $8 trillion. So our economy wouldn't be so shit if we didn't fight that forever war and murder 1 million people. That motherfucker should be on trial. Fucking Trump having boxes of shit that he was just... oh, he left in his bathroom. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like I saw those images. Like, it's, I don't know. Like I said, I'm an independent guy. I don't lean either way. But if there's any president who should be indicted, it should be fucking George H.W. Bush. But regardless, that story doesn't change your life. Your rent doesn't go down because of it. Fucking your life, the gas prices don't go down because of it. None of it.
So, you know what I'm saying? That's not news that affects your life, but everyone won't shut up about it. It's crazy. Anyways, what else on the scene? On the 8th, Gavin Newsom proposed the 20th Amendment to the Constitution. Basically, what the 20th Amendment, his proposal is, California governor, he's my governor, is to include a higher purchase age for all guns to 21. There's going to be significantly more thorough background checks. There'll be an assault rifle ban. I don't know what an assault rifle is. People are just putting that, like, there's just rifles. There's just rifles. Do you know what I'm saying? There's just rifles, unfortunately. All, you know what I'm saying? If they're talking about how you can put a magazine on a rifle, that doesn't make it an assault rifle. All rifles have magazines because, like, sometimes you need to shoot things multiple times. Like a handgun. I guess a handgun would qualify to be an assault rifle, right? Otherwise, it's just a rifle with a magazine. I don't get it. But he cares about the guns. I don't disagree with that dude. I don't agree with him on guns, but that's the thing a lot of people need to do is they need to really grow up on why they about disagreeing with politicians. Like, just because somebody doesn't agree with everything you say, everything you think, doesn't mean he's the devil. I don't agree with Gavin on the guns, but that motherfucker really did give us a budget surplus during the pandemic. We had a budget surplus. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did that happen? Yeah, the pandemic sucked in California. I'll be honest, it fucking sucked. I know a lot of people went to fucking Texas and shit like that. But you know, I don't know, man. Everyone's different. We need to give up this idea that because someone doesn't like something you like, that they're Satan. You know? I don't agree with that guy at all on guns, but I agree with him on other shit. You know what I'm saying? But he submitted this 28th Amendment. A lot of people are mixed feelings, but you know, he's that's just, you know what I'm saying, he wants to go after guns, but that's a significant thing. I mean, it hasn't been since quite a few decades since we've added an amendment to the Constitution, but this is something you should pay attention to. If you're pro Second Amendment like me, I mean, fuck, I think you should have a fucking machine gun. To be honest, I don't know. Like, it's all about competence. You know what I'm saying? Like, did you learn not to put your hand on the fucking stove? Cool. You'll learn not to fucking point guns at people. You know what I'm saying? You should learn, you know, anger management. You should learn, you know, conflict resolution. Schools should be teaching that shit instead of just being like, we just need to ban a thing. Like, people are committing mass murder with vans and trucks now. Do you know what I'm saying? It's definitely not. If a crazy person wants to kill a lot of people, they'll find a way. But he proposed that. I don't agree with it, but I don't hate that dude. He's a cool guy. You know what I'm saying? It's not also nice that we, because a lot of politicians, they don't really take care of themselves. And it's nice to, you know what I'm saying, also know, here's the thing is, a person who takes care of themselves, you know that they also take care of, they're also very hypervigilant in other parts of their life. I don't know if you know this, have you ever been to like leadership conventions or what have you? It's an actual trait. If someone is very well kempt and they're also in a leadership position, there's a high chance that that person is also very detail oriented and they also do their job good as fuck. I got a boss. He's a good looking dude and he also fucking just, it's kind of true. It's actually a behavioral trait that carries on over to very good leadership qualities, believe it or not. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. It's like, oh, he's a good looking dude and he gets shit done. So, you know, understand that is an actual real phenomenon. People who tend to care about their looks also are very professional in other parts of their lives that matter and count for other people. They, you know, say they pride themselves on it. You know how some people are really into their cars or they're really into their truck or whatever.
there are some people who their passion, instead of their things or their home theater or whatever, is themselves and being a professional person. So they have that same kind of obsession, but for being well put together and also being someone that other people can rely on. It just is. It's just a real thing. So, you know what I'm saying? Don't, you can't knock the guy. I don't agree with him on the gun thing, but that's a significant story that happened this week. The Canadian wildfires, everyone's talking about that. That's significant, right? The Canadian wildfires ravaging Canada with no immediate relief in sight. The fires are causing significant damage, displacing many people. NYC air quality was the worst in the world, wasn't it? That's pretty gnarly. A lot of people are talking about climate change, etc. It's different when people on the East Coast finally get a taste of what happens over here in California all the time. But I can't believe the Canadian wildfires went off like that. It's not even like, well, I guess it's summer. Apparently, it was a bunch of lightning storms that set them off, apparently. But, you know, like, this is something we got to get used to. And, you know, it's hard to get people's to back something unless it affects them. And it's hard to get people to back things unless it affects them if it's not happening in a part of the world where that gets a lot of attention, like New York City. So maybe this was kind of like a blessing in disguise. Maybe people on the East Coast will now understand what we go through here on the West Coast. And now we'll have a mutual understanding like, yeah, we probably need to figure out this climate shit. Because people don't care about things unless it affects them. And things don't get a lot of press unless they affect everyone. It is what it is. Here's another, speaking of more of the climate, the UN says that our carbon budget. So remember I was talking about runaway greenhouse effect. There's also this target that the UN is trying to get to by 2030 because 1.5 degrees overall average doesn't sound like a large, but a variable 1.5 degrees, but as a global average, it's fucking huge. But, so the UN was hoping, and they had these meetings, you know, like COP30 and everything, you know, those COP28, COP30, COP27, it's basically like these global meetings. It's like the G7, but for all the G7 countries to come together to specifically try to clean up the world. And, all these countries got together and the UN was like, hey, if we're not going to all kill ourselves, we can only raise the global temperature average by 1.5 degrees. And we have this budget. We can't release so much carbon by 2030 if we're going to reach that number. And that was an important number. And everyone talked about it at the latest COP meeting. And it was a 1.5 degree. And it's only, so we have until 2030 to, how much, depending on how much carbon the globe can release. And we've already blown through half of that number, however many trillions of pounds of carbon into the air, whatever, to slow things down. We've already spent half that budget and we're not even halfway through the decade. We're only in 2023 and we've already burned as much that all those people agreed to burn would be burned by the end of 2025, the end of 2025. But we've already spent through it by 2023. No one's talking about that shit. That's significant. Do you know what I'm saying? That's gonna affect poor people. And then the powers that be are going to try to capitalize on that and be like, oh, now we need to do CBDC so we can track everyone's spending, so we can track the fucking everyone's carbon footprint. And if you have too much of a carbon fucking footprint, then we cut off your ability to buy certain kinds of foods because you've reached your carbon limit. That's what CBDCs are going to be, how it's going to be implemented. I guarantee you, they're going to say, you went over your carbon budget, and the only way to save the world, now that we've seen the, oh, you ate too many burgers, you ate too many fucking fish tacos or whatever this month, now we're going to cut your money off and allow you to only use your money on things that have a low carbon footprint because you went over your budget. That's how it's going to be used. So it's important for us, so the elites don't take advantage of a bad situation, to fucking cut, to just I don't know, fucking recycle, take the bus, fucking get solar power on your house. I don't know, fucking buy a bike. But if we don't take personal responsibility, these rich fucks are going to use it as an excuse to say we all have to have CBDCs, because if we can't limit your spending where you're going to have algorithms and AI keep track of the global financial, and then everyone's only going to be able to spend money on certain things. Oh, you're swiping your card to buy a sandwich, but that sandwich, they gave every item on that sandwich has a carbon budget, right? That's how they're going to do it, by the way. There's a carbon budget, and you went over the budget, you can't buy that sandwich. So you're in line, they make the sandwich, you try to swipe your cart. Sorry, you can't. Your CBDC says you can't do it. You're over your carbon budget for the month. I'm sorry, Fatso, right? That's how it's going to happen, by the way. So it's important that we fucking do this preemptively. It's not going to happen. I don't think humans will fucking work together. We're crabs in a bucket, and we love it. But our carbon budget is already fucking blown. It's not even halfway through the decade, but we've blown through half of the decade's worth of carbon budget to slow that shit down, to evade CBDCs being forced on us. That's what they're going to do in there. It's because they're going to say the planet. That might be why they're trying to let it get out of hand. Who knows? So they can say, hey, now we have to have it. I know it sucks, right? But, you know, the planet. So now we get to track all your things. And then if we think you've had too many steaks this month, now you have to eat the Cricket Burgers. Sorry, it's a lower carbon footprint. That's all your money is going to allow you to spend. That's how it's going to work. So we probably should fucking keep an eye on that. Another story that was pretty significant. GM, General Motors, is now joining up with Tesla to allow charging at stations. And Ford also recently signed up with Tesla. How fucking cool is that? But know what that shows is Tesla, this fucking startup, when everyone was talking shit about this dude, right? Everyone was talking shit about E. And they were saying shit like, he doesn't know what's going on. And, you know, he doesn't understand how to make cars. And right, a lot of people talking shit about this guy. He was a startup. And in less than 10 years, bro, now all these fucking legacy auto brands, he was the pioneer. Now they're using his charging stations because, believe it or not, they can't perfect the charging stations. So, I mean, for him to think about that ahead of time and him to juggle all these crazy companies, like, you really need to, you know what I'm saying? You really need to give that dude his fucking flowers on that. But that's significant because it shows that these car companies are bending the knee to someone that they talk shit about. For someone that a lot of rich people shorted his stock. And he's actually pretty salty about that. But look, now these people are bending the fucking knee. Dude knows what he's doing. That's a significant thing. So in the future, especially in California, where they're going to force us all to buy electric cars by 2035, you know, so they can drive us off the road if we talk badly about the government. Anyways, besides that, if you're going to charge that, Tesla's going to be the leader in that. Texaco, fucking Chevron, they're going to go by the wayside. This motherfucker is going to be the next, you know, Ion Baron, I guess you would call him. That's pretty cool. Here's something that's very important you should know about. You know the sweetener Splenda, that artificial sweetener? Believe it or not, the University of North Carolina found out by doing a food study over many years that Splenda causes gut leak. They found out Splenda damages your gut DNA on a molecular level and will actually cause your guts to leak things into your body. Crazy. There's so many people who use Splenda. People are diabetics. People trying to lose weight. There's a lot of low calorie foods that are sweetened with Splenda, etc. Like, fuck. It's going to kill you. It's going to cause gut leak. It's going to make it's going to break down your DNA in your gut and then cause your gut to seep things into your fucking body. Crazy, right? Oh my God. So I think you should use, if you need to find an alternative, I would go after agave sweeteners. Agave, right? Agave. It's you know what I'm saying? It's a great plant, but it's also a great alternative for sugar. It's natural. I would go with that. It's a lot more natural. The body breaks it down easier, but stop using Splenda. And that shit is everywhere. And it causes fucking gut leak, they found out. Breaks down your DNA. So if you're diabetic, if you're trying to lose some LBs, stay away from the fucking Splenda. That's my recommendation to you. Gut leak sounds pretty gnarly, right? I got the gut leak. Oh, you probably should stop using that, right? Here's another, I guess, important story. I featured it, though. Scientists discovered that the animal that we are all ancestors to, right? Because the tree of life branched off into different directions. People originally thought it was the sea sponge. I know, right? Who cares about this story? But it's important. Hey, this is where we came from, dog. But people thought the sea sponge, you know, SpongeBob is where we all came from. But they actually found out the comb jelly. So the very first animal, like the very first, what we think of as animal, not these little microbes. The very first animal that the tree of life branched from in different directions, leading up to lizards and whales and whatever, right? And monkeys and fucking kangaroos. We all branched off from jellyfish. So that means if we go to other planets or things like Europa, you know how Europa is the ice moon of Saturn, but we think that there's an ocean there. Most likely, if there is life, it's most likely going to be like a jellyfish kind of animal if life is a template for other planets. So regardless of this and that, we all came from jellyfish. So next time you say, hey, bro, you jelly? Yeah, actually, you kind of am. Interesting story about taurine. You know, everyone talks shit about energy drinks probably not being a good idea for you, et cetera. But they, what's it called? Columbia University did a study where they found out taurine reverses aging by 12%. I've worked in the anti-aging industry. And let me tell you, something working by 12% is a huge fucking deal. 12% is huge when it comes to anti-aging. They found out that the chemical taurine, because they fed it to a bunch of rats and other animals, that fits our genetic profile. That's the reason why they use rats, except, believe it or not, they share so much of our DNA. So we can get a good idea of how it's going to affect our body. But they found out it increases bone density. It reduces inflammation. A lot of people don't understand inflammation is something that ends up killing you. A lot of people don't know you should be trying to fight inflammation. And that is, you know, your organs and your nerves, et cetera, getting agitated and swelling up, et cetera. A lot of people don't realize inflammation causes a lot of problems. A lot of people don't realize that. It reverses DNA damage. It increases a person's overall muscle strength, and it increases your immunity. Taurine, the stuff that's found in pretty much every energy drink. And they said adding this supplement will increase your overall longevity of your life and your personal fitness, etc., by 12%. That is huge in terms of anti-aging. I'll just tell you that. Something else about health, believe it or not, there is a chemo fiasco going on in the United States. The United States is experiencing a severe nationwide shortage of chemotherapy drugs. So there's lots of people who are fighting cancer and their treatments are getting delayed, etc. It's affecting up to like 100,000 cancer patients right now. And there are 14 specific cancer treatments that are in very short supply. The FDA is like emergency ordering these drugs from China, but there needs to be a long-term solution, especially since we are not very friendly with China right now. We're probably going to have to figure out a way to make those drugs here. Something. There's a lot of people who are going through cancer treatment who are having to delay their treatments.
All sorts of different things going on. There's cancer's a, you know what I'm saying, cancer's a big deal here in the United States. A lot of people got cancer. It affects a lot of people. So that's a big deal. And, you know what I'm saying, hopefully we can get that fixed. And, you know, that was pretty much the news that happened this week. I very much appreciate your guys' attention. We're simultaneously broadcasting this on our COINTELPRO 2.0 podcast, as well as its own standalone podcast. That is basically because, you know what I'm saying, I want to introduce you guys, especially here on the COINTEL 2.0 podcast, where we have over 55,000 listeners, average listeners now, is, you know, I want to expose you guys to a healthy information diet, not this garbage that people obsess over that doesn't change your lives. And there's so many things that you should be knowing about what's going on that nobody talks about because it doesn't sell ad dollars. Isn't that crazy? You're not informed about things that will change your life because people can't sell candy. And this is a little side project. The listeners for COINTELPRO 2.0 podcast, I don't just do COINTELPRO. I got this thing called Mesh News. I've been talking a lot more about it in recent podcast episodes, but you should understand that, what I do, you know, aside from COINTELPRO 2.0 is this healthy information diet. And it's a result of some gnarly things that were kind of forced on me. And it took me quite a while to break away from the people who, we're demanding this, I would say, service. And I don't want to get too much into it because this is about the news. But as a result, you know, I refuse to do it. And I was only going to do news that affects humans and humanity from now on. And not this crypto news shit. If you know, if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, at least the COINTELPRO 2.0 news. But, you know, I think this is an important way to approach these stories and approach how the news works, etc. You know, we do the TLDR morning news show. Follow us on Twitter, on the YouTubes, on the Facebooks. We post it everywhere. But, you know, and then doing this weekly wrap up. And, you know, and I'm doing this as a personal service. I don't charge money for it. I don't have advertisers. I don't care to have advertisers. This is totally a labor of love. But there's too many people who keep the news on and they listen to it all day. And what this does is it allows people to program you, allows people to put their words into your fucking mouth. After a while, if you can listen to something all day, a lot of people leave the news on in the background, Fox News, MSNBC, whatever, and they're talking shit about, oh, fuck Biden or fuck Trump or fuck this, or this is the narrative. Like, eventually you hear that over and over and over and over, and eventually you're going to think that way. So I create the news this way where I only focus on stories that affect you, not narratives. This is news, not narrative. And so you only need to spend 60 seconds in the morning to get the entire days of news that actually matters. Things are going to matter to you. Don't keep the news on all day. And then at the end of the month, we'll do a wrap up and then I'll do some breakdown and break things down for you. And then now you don't have to have this programming shit in the back, you know, leaving this on the back of the day, etc. And you can learn to think for yourself and live your own life and don't allow, you know, mainstream media and the mockingbird media to turn you into this robot, because we're all about waking people up and pulling away from that narrative and pulling away from narratives and really just embracing each other as humans, because it's not red versus blue. It's not black versus white. It's not LGBT versus breeders or you versus your neighbors. It's always been the haves versus the have-nots. You and me are the only thing that's real. Narratives are the delusion. Time, trust, and tenacity is the only currency. And if the people in power are going to keep us poor, let's be a poor that they fear. I'm Stephen Beckman, and I hope this message finds you as I broadcast from San Diego, from deep inside the filter bubble.
This is my United States of whatever.
It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before they get better.
Yeah, whatever.